The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first story today is about a farm called Apple Tree Farm. And it's about a small family that lives on a farm and all their different animals. So the first story we're going to read from this book is called Pig Gets Stuck. Here we go. This is Apple Tree Farm. This is Mrs. Boot, the farmer. She has two children called Poppy and Sam. Poppy, of course, is the little girl, and her young brother is called Sam, and their dog called Rusty. On the farm, there are six pigs. The pigs live in a pen with a little house. The smallest pig is called Curly. He really is very small compared to the others. It is time for breakfast. There's the mama pig and her babies. Mrs. Boot gives the pigs their breakfast, but Curly is so small, he does not get any. He looks for something else to eat in the pen. Curly is hungry. Then he finds a little gap under the wire. Curly is out. He squeezes through the gap under the wire. He is out in the farmyard. He meets lots of other animals in the farmyard. Whose breakfast would he like to eat? There are cows. There are sheep. There is the horse. There are some ducks. And there's lots of chickens. Curly decides that he wants the hen's breakfast. He thinks the hen's breakfast looks good. So he squeezes through the gap in the fence. Curly tries it. The hen's food is so good, he gobbles it all up. The hens are not pleased. They're clucking and screaming at him now, flying all around. Mrs. Boot sees Curly. Curly hears Mrs. Boot shouting at him, "What are you doing in the hen run, Curly?" He runs to the fence. He tries to squeeze through the gap, but he has eaten so much breakfast, he is too fat. Oh, there he is. His poor little bottom is sticking into the hen yard, and his head is sticking out of the gap. Curly is good and stuck. Curly pushes and pushes, but he can't move. He is stuck in the fence. They all push. Mrs. Boot, Poppy, and Sam all push Curly. He squeals and squeals. His sides hurt. But at last, Curly is out. With a grunt, Curly pops through the fence. "He's out! He's out!" shouts Sam. He is safe now. Mrs. Boot picks up Curly. "Poor little pig," she says, and she carries him back to the pig pen. Curly is happy to be back. "Tomorrow you shall have lots of breakfast," she says. And Curly was never, ever hungry again. I think she gave him his own special place to have breakfast. Now we're going to read another story from this book about Curly and his adventure. This time, Curly Gets Lost. Let me find the page over here. And here we are, almost. Here we go. Curly Gets Lost. As if you remember, Mrs. Boot has six pigs. There's a mother pig and five baby pigs. The smallest pig is called Curly. They live in a pen. Mrs. Boot feeds the pigs every morning. She takes them two big buckets of food. But where is Curly? He's not in the pen. "Curly's gone," she says to her kids and to Rusty the dog. I need your help to find him. "Where are you, Curly?" everyone calls. Poppy and Sam called Curly. "Let's look in the hen run," she says. But Curly is not there. "There he is, in the barn." "He's in the barn," says Sam. "I can just see his tail. They all run into the barn to catch Curly. "That's not Curly. It's only a piece of rope," says Mrs. Boot. "Not Curly's tail." "Well, where can he be?" asks Poppy. "But Curly is not with the cows." "Don't worry," says Mrs. Boot. "We'll soon find him." "Perhaps he's in the garden." "Uh-oh, eating all their good vegetables, huh?" They look for Curly in the garden. "But he's not there." "We'll never find him," says Sam. "But why is Rusty barking?" And there the dog is barking way over there across the yard. Rusty is standing by a ditch. He barks and he barks. "He's trying to tell us something," said Poppy, the big sister. "Rusty has found Curly." They all look in the ditch. Curly has slipped down into the mud and he can't climb out. "I'll get into the ditch, says Mrs. Boot. "We're going to have to lift him out." "I'm coming too," says Poppy. "And me," says Sam, and both the kids slide down into the ditch too. Curly is very muddy. Mrs. Boot picks up Curly, but he struggles. Then he slips back into the mud with a splash. What a mess. Now everyone is very, very muddy. Except the dog, of course. He was smart enough not to jump down into the mud. Sam tries to catch Curly, but he falls into the mud. Mrs. Boot grabs Curly at last, and then they climb out of the ditch. They all get out, and they're all covered with mud. Curly, Mrs. Boot, Poppy, and Sam. "Rusty found Curly. Clever dog," says Sam. And he gives Rusty a big pat on the head. And that's the end of those stories about Curly the pig, who always seems to be getting into trouble. By the way, this is July, and I looked hard and fast for a special July book. There's a very, very important holiday for our country here in the United States in July, and I know you all know what it is. It's Independence Day, July 4th, when we have special parades, we have cookouts with our family and friends, we watch fireworks at night to celebrate our country, which was formed in 1776, a very special year. So that's more than 200 years ago. In fact, it's 250 years ago, maybe. I don't know my math very well. But it is a good, strong country and a good to be a citizen of the United States and America. But anyways, I was in the library looking for a special July 4th book and I could not find any. So we'll just read some other stories. Now, the next story coming up is called Patrick Picklebottom and the Penny Book, by Mr. J. He's the guy that wrote it. His name was Mr. J. And it's called Patrick Picklebottom, who was a little boy. And here we go. Young Patrick Picklebottom, who was always so poor, had only a penny when he entered the store. He walked past the candy, some toys and a ball. The only thing he wished for, he walked past the candy, some toys and a ball, to the one thing he wished for, he wished he could buy most of all. Unable to purchase and resigned to just look, he longingly gazed at a dusty old book. "Would you like to buy this?" asked an elderly man. "I'd like to," said Patrick, "but I don't think I can. I've only one penny and not one penny more. Then he hung his head low and turned towards the door. "Well, as it happened," replied the kind-hearted gent, "this book only costs a single red cent." "Thank you so much," Patrick said to the man. Then clutching his book, he turned round and ran, anxious for home. to bask in the glory of his amazing new book and its incredible story. That store was closing out, so that's probably why that book only cost 1 cent. And Patrick was so happy. There's a picture of him running down the street with a big old book under his arm, running fast to get home. He made it 3 blocks when he saw his friend Tom on the steps of his porch, staring down at his palm. In his hands was a smartphone, and he was swiping away, but stopped for a moment to look up and say, "Hey, Patrick, come here. I've got this new app. It shows me new pictures each time I tap." Do you have a special phone too, a smartphone or an iPhone that you can look at? Or do you sometimes look at your mom or dad's iPhone? Anyways, here we go. Pictures of what and why would I care? But Tom just looked up with a frustrated glare. There's shots from all over. There's always a bunch. Look, a pic here, a girl posted a pic of her lunch. And it's a big old hamburger. And different friends are saying, "Look, it looks good. Can I have a bite?" Someone else says, "Gives it a great big heart." How else will you know what the world is about? Patrick looked at his book. "I guess I'll find out." He wants to get home and read that book. He continued towards home through a park round a tree when he heard a voice call, "Hey, Patrick, come see." Then he saw his friend Donna staring up at the sky. But it took him a moment to understand why. Up in the air in the clouds, all alone, floating above them was a stealthy white drone. It veered to the left, then swung towards the sun as Donna exclaimed, "See, isn't this fun?" Patrick looking confused, Patrick wondered aloud, "I guess it'd be neat to be up in a cloud. But you're on the ground, and you're standing real still. I'm very sorry, but I guess I just don't see the thrill." Donna looked stunned, then she said with a sigh, "The thrill is but controlling the machines that can fly. How else can we capture the excitement of flight?" Patrick looked at his book, and he clutched it real tight. Leaving the park and back on the run, he was close to his home as the sky lost the sun. He was at his front door with his hand on the knob when he suddenly heard his neighbor friend Bob, "Patrick, you're home. Come have a look. I have a new video game, so put down that old book. It's called Monsters Clash for my GameStation 5, and I've waited 2 weeks for this game to arrive. We capture these beasts who escape from their collars." "But that game," Pat explained, "costs $300. Bob just replied, "How else can you battle monsters all day?" But Pat clutched his book and said, "I might have a way." Up in his room, tucked into his bed, with a single small lamp aglow near his head, he read through his book, every page without fail, each chapter a story, its own separate tale. He read about kingdoms and lands far and wide, where heroes and monsters and dragons collide. He read about rockets blasting out past the moon, and as his eyes closed, he knew that real soon he'd dream of adventures, and of course there'd be many from a book that he'd bought for a single red penny. And that's the end of that book. I think that's a very nice book about reading and how important it is. Do you like to read? That's something that some of you might be too young to do yet, and some of you might just be learning to read, and others of you might know how to read already. So Patrick did what he loved best. He loved reading, so he could do lots of adventures in places he'd never get to go. But he had his book to take him there. This story is one of the Berenstain Bear ones, and we've been reading a lot of those lately, and this is something that people often do in the summer. It's now July, and the hot summer days are here, and sometimes people kids especially set up lemonade stands along the side of the road to sell lemonade to hot people that are walking there or else mowing the grass outside or playing games in the hot sun. So anyways, here we go, the Berenstain Bears lemonade stand. It is a hot day. Brother, sister, and Honey Bear are playing outside. Mama brings them lemonade. Oh, so good. Male Bear Bob comes by. He is very hot. May I have some lemonade? He asks. I'll give you a quarter. Male Bear Bob drinks the lemonade. Oh, so good. Here is your quarter, he says. So they're very kind. They offer him some lemonade. So let's sell more lemonade, says Brother. The Cubs set up a lemonade stand. They make a sign. Lemonade, 25 cents. Some bears are mowing the lawn next door. They are very hot. They see the lemonade stand. We would like some lemonade, said the lawn bears. They drink it down. Oh, it is so very good on a hot summer day. Their neighbor comes outside. I'm having a party, she says. My guests will all want lemonade. Her guests arrive. They all drink lemonade, and it is so very good. Everyone likes it. They're really selling a lot of lemonade, aren't they? Some other neighbors come outside, too. They want lemonade, too. But the Cubs are running out of lemonade. Don't worry, say the neighbors. We will help. They bring out more drinks. They bring out food to eat. Somebody brought a lot of hamburgers and hot dogs and more lemonade. What nice neighbors. Some Cubs come by. A block party, they say. They start to play music. They start to dance. There is a big party. Farmer Ben sees the party. He has a load of things from his farm. He starts to sell fruit and other good things from the back of his truck. People are buying tomatoes and onions and potatoes and green apples. Everything looks so good. It's getting dark. How will the party end? Grizzly Gus has fireworks. He sets them off. They are very, very pretty. The party is over, and everyone goes home. The Cubs take down their lemonade stand. They go inside. They are very tired, and they are very hot. Mama brings them lemonade. Oh, it's so good. That will be 25 cents, said Mama. And they all laugh at Mama's joke. Now, do you think they should have paid their Mama 25 cents? I think so, because she and her and Papa Bear probably provided them with the lemonade in the first place for the kids to sell. But anyways, it was a nice day, and they earned lots of good money from their lemonade stand because it had been such a hot, hot day, and everybody definitely appreciated lemonade, didn't they? Our next book is called Teach Your Dragon to Stop Lying, and it's by Steve Herman. Howdy there. How do you do? Pleased to meet you. My name's Drew, and this guy here beside me is my dragon, Diggory-Doo. Don't be afraid to run away. My Diggory-Doo is tamed. Though dragons can be scary, not all dragons are the same. And there this boy is sitting on a fallen palm tree, and Diggory-Doo beside him is drinking straight from a coconut through a straw. He's drinking the coconut milk right out of the coconut. Diggory's learned a lot ever since he's been my pet, and I don't think I've ever met a better dragon yet. Little boy Drew has taught him how to stop sending fire out of his nose to scare people away. So it's just a little puff of smoke coming out of Diggory's nose now. I've taught him self-control and not to start a fire. But Diggory still has much to learn to not be a liar. Uh-oh, he's a liar. One day I asked my dragon if his homework was all done. "No homework today," said Diggory-Doo. "Let's go and have some fun." Then I looked inside his backpack. I could not believe my eyes. I found a spelling worksheet. Diggory-Doo was telling lies. I'm done. At home we have a rule. We must put our toys away and the laundry in the hamper before going out to play. He says, "I'm all done." He's put his laundry in the hamper and the toys are all put away. One time Diggory said, "I'm done." But what he'd done instead was stuffing his dirty clothes and his toys underneath the bed. Do you ever do that? Sometimes we all do that, don't we? Mother baked a chocolate pie, but said we had to wait. "You can each have a slice," she said, "when you have cleaned your plate." But Diggory sneaked into the kitchen, and he gobbled up the pie. "It wasn't me," said Diggory-Doo, "but that was just a lie." Diggory caught a little fish, but told a whopping lie, that with nothing but a fishing pole, he had caught a whale. For then he has a story to tell. He doesn't tell it straight. "Diggory-Doo, I warned him, you should not exaggerate." When he didn't do his homework, he would not admit it. "I left it on the bus," he said, "but promised that I did it." "Diggory-Doo," I told him, "it should come as no surprise if your teacher gets suspicious that you might be telling lies." No more throwing balls inside the house. Mom warned us every day, but Diggory disobeyed Mom and did it anyway. When Mom heard the mirror break, she ran in to see. "It was Drew," said Diggory-Doo. "I swear it wasn't me." Uh-oh. It was mean of him, wasn't it? "This has got to stop," I cried. I was really getting mad. But Diggory did not understand what telling lies was bad. "It's no big deal," said Diggory-Doo, "and that you know very well that no one's getting hurt if I make up tales to tell." "Everybody lies," he said. "I'm not the only one. Sometimes I only do it because I think it's kind of fun. And when I've done what I should not, a lie comes in real handy. I can say, 'It wasn't me,' and everything's just dandy." So Diggory-Doo is blaming his little friend Drew. "Diggory-Doo," I told him, "what you're doing is a shame. Telling lies is very bad. It's not a harmless game. The next time you are tempted to tell something that's not true, you should think of how you'd feel if someone lied to you." There it shows Diggory-Doo thinking about it. "Please think about your teachers, your family, friends, and me. When you tell lies, we're as disappointed as can be." Excuse me, these pages are very hard to turn. "But others aren't the only ones who hurt when you're not true. Please realize that telling lies is hurtful to you too. You can't be truly happy when you know you're being bad. When you have a guilty heart, it leads to feeling sad." Boy, he really tells lies. "I did it. I'm so sorry." "When you do what you should not, be honest and admit it. Don't put the blame on someone else when you're the one who did it. You'll be a better dragon when you learn from your mistakes. If you stop telling lies, what a difference it will make." Diggory looked a little shocked, and then he said, "I never knew that so much damage could be done by telling what's not true." There's a little girl saying, "I don't believe you." So no one believes Diggory anymore. Diggory-Doo declared, "I'll not be lying anymore. I'll be a better dragon than I've ever been before." Everyone had started to not believe him. My dragon learned his lesson. I'm so proud of Diggory-Doo. And what's good for little dragons is also good for you. So think before you speak, and here's what I advise. Only speak what's true and avoid telling lies. Yep. And there they are. He's got lots of friends now to play with. Kids are coming over not just to play with Drew, but to play with Diggory Doo too. They brought their pets, their little dogs, and little girls brought her cat. And everyone is sitting there in the yard having fun with Diggory Doo. And that's the end of that dragon story. This story is called Scaredy Boo. Under the bed lived a monster named Scaredy Boo. Boo was afraid of everything. He would have been scared of you. Each night, the other small monsters raced around the house having fun. Though all of the children were sleeping, Boo feared they'd wake up someone. Boo sighed. I'm frightened of big things, small things, and wiggly things, too. I'm little Scaredy Boo monster. Wouldn't these things scare you, too? Scaredy Boo didn't like noises, things that went crackle or creak. Hearing strange whispers and rustles made poor Boo's legs get all weak. Late one night, Boo heard loud footsteps. Help! Something's out there, he said. Hello, the thing called. You're hiding? It peeked at Boo under the bed. Scaredy Boo trembled. Who are you? I jump when someone shouts Boo. I'm little Scaredy Boo monster. Wouldn't you be scared, too? Why are you scared? Smiled the stranger. I'm Spike, a monster like you. Come out, let's play together. Playing is what monsters do. Poor Boo felt ever so worried. Excuse me. He'd never been out before. Nighttime was all dark and scary. Crickety creak creaked the floor. Come on, Spike called to Boo kindly. Let's play with all of these toys. Shh, Scaredy whispered. The children. You'll wake them with all of that noise. Boo saw a huge black shape looming. Oh, what a horrible sight. Help, he cried, diving for cover. And there he sat, shaking with fright. Scaredy Boo stuttered. What is that? I'll jump when someone shouts Boo. I'm little Scaredy Boo monster. Wouldn't you be scared, too? That's just your shadow, Spike told Boo. Everyone has one. Look, see. Scaredy Boo felt a little silly. All I was scared of was me. And then there's a twitchy thing, Boo gasped. Spike grinned. It's only a mouse. Ooh, it's quite friendly, Boo giggled. I'd like exploring this house. Scaredy Boo met all the monsters. It's so much fun playing, he said. Thank you, Spike. I'm glad you found me. It's lonely under the bed. Whee! From a shelf dropped a spider. Scaredy Boo's fur stood on end. I still don't like spiders, Boo giggled. They scare me, too, laughed his friend. Boo shouted, let's play tomorrow. It's so exciting and new. Shh, all his monster friends whispered. You're noisy now, little Boo. That's the end of that. And we have run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Read to Succeed on the North Carolina Reading Service.